text this evening is 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32, which talks about the children of Issachar who had understanding of their times, and because of that understanding, they knew what they ought to do. I had concluded the previous lesson saying that artificial intelligence is enhancing and making news stories more persuasive and more homogenized. That was the big deal, right? Coming to the end of that message last week. That with the homogenizing of news and information that people are digesting and being approved for us to digest and read, with AI coming on the scene, making news and information more persuasive, that's going to be hard to resist. I mean, more people receiving homogenized news are going to be all thinking alike, which pretty well does away with independent thought. AI is becoming the centralized source of controlled information in the world. And it's occurring at the speed of light. And the reason why I say the speed of light is because we're using the optic fibers now, which that's the speed of light, as fast as the light can travel through those lines. And that's, you know, the speed of light is the speed limit in the universe. That's as fast as it can go, right? That's the fastest thing. And so here we have processing and information at the speed of light. But now with AI, even more so. AI will magnify the influence with better, and I mean better, written articles and better news stories, more convincing than they already are. And AI is already being used to create news stories. And it's changing our world at the speed of light. About two-thirds of all U.S. adults right now, what I just saw in a Pew Research article earlier today, about two-thirds of U.S. adults get their news from the Internet. And guess where AI has most of its influence? The Internet. The Internet is the largest source of news and information. And this is broken. This has broken the control of the mainstream media. It's really, we've gone through some dynamic shifts as far as journalism and media, news outlet. But it's this phenomenon that's going on right now where most people are breaking out of the influence of mainstream media, that's temporary. And I say temporary because AI, as AI gets more used and more involved in putting out information through the Internet, it will be used to flood the media outlets and the social media with articles to cover up competing stories that are deemed unworthy. Or it'll just flat out censor opposing views or discredit ideas and information sources. And it will increase its control of the narrative, which means it controls how people think and then how people behave and the choices they make. All news and information will be homogenized and more persuasive than it is right now. And it's doing a pretty good job right now. It's got way too many people influenced. An article published by the Pew Research Center asked media experts, whoever they are, those are the people who work in the industry, to imagine a world, a better online world, with the hope for a ubiquitous, even immersive digital environment that promotes fact-based. Now listen to this. Imagine a world where there is fact-based knowledge, where the social media and the internet sources offer better defense of individual rights, empowers diverse voices, and provides tools for technology breakthroughs and collaborations to solve the world's wicked problems. I mean, that's from secular sources. I like these phrases. I like this idea of fact-based knowledge and defense of individual rights, empowering diverse voices. That sounds great, but do you think that's going to happen? No, that's not the way of humanity. We can expect from this imaginary world with government getting involved, and big business is getting involved, we can expect more control, less diverse voices, less individual freedoms. We can see more disinformation being pumped out by the few elites who deem this is the kind of news you need to know. Now, the article continued and said this, quote, "If reformers, big technology firms, governments, and activists tackle the problems created by misinformation, disinformation, and toxic discourse," period. I just lifted that out of the quote. This is the concern that they have. Such a world is possible. The imaginary dream world is possible if reformers, big technology, and government and activists all get on board and tackle the problems. Does that sound like the groups of people that are going to solve the problems? No way. We've already seen what that means. This means controlling information and censoring opposing views. And who's going to determine what misinformation is anyway when there are differing views? And where did those diverse voices go? Media and information elites are asking, how do we develop basic, this is their quote, how do we develop basic cognitive and behavioral science supporting cyber tech aware pedagogies, that is teaching, and curricula to protect humans, that is provide immunity from systemic vulnerabilities to epidemics of false, misleading, or true yet malign persuasive data and media. Well, that's a lot of words. Basically, how do we control those that we deem as putting out bad information? But once you have government or any or big tech or anybody deciding what information ought to be put out, what people are, information that is approved, once that happens, you're no longer in a free society. You're being controlled. I'd rather have misinformation, disinformation, malinformation in a world of information than to have controlled, approved information. This dilemma of controlling information versus allowing free flowing information with misinformation gives us some insight that is oftentimes overlooked. Polarized news is better than homogenized news. Without polarized news, critical analysis and thorough thoughtfulness are not possible. There will always be independent thinkers, but not sufficient in numbers to overcome the information flood of information generated by AI and the elite who determine what information is acceptable for the rest of us to hear. And it has to be noted that artificial intelligence is not the problem. More information leads to good information. Fact-based decisions are ideal, and that's why I like that. That's why I like the way that those terms were posed in the questions. I like that. But when information is filtered at a higher level and fed to the rest of us, that's not allowing anyone else but the media elites and the government officials who deem themselves more worthy of approving what is right and wrong to determine what's factual for us. Limited information keeps us ignorant and deficient in truth. Freedom to choose is diminished with limited filtered information. Freedom increases as information increases. Of course, you know where all that goes, that there's a lot of misinformation, according to the elites, and we need to protect people. We already have the Fundamentalist Anonymous group that deems this book and is already preparing their court cases. I've been preaching on that since 1997. They've been collecting the research, take the Bible and Christians to court for their misinformation, claiming that Christians and people who read the Bible are dangerous people. People who read the Bible are more prone to child abuse, more prone to hurting others than those who don't read the Bible. By the time you get done with the article, they even claim that Bible believers are more likely to commit murder. You go, yeah, what kind of Christians have you been hanging out with? But see, it doesn't have to be true. It just has to be said over and over and over again. It's the lies. That's the world we live in, a world of Satan and lies, right? The father of lies. The media experts who were surveyed said they envisioned a vastly more hospitable online environment that facilitates socially enriching relationships. This is interesting, these terms. The flowering of knowledge creating communities, growth of truth-seeking groups, discussions, and new kinds of interactions enabled by artificial intelligence, virtual reality, and augmented reality. At best, they imagine tech-aided collaborations, sometimes global in scale, that can tackle the world's most pressing questions. Now, I read that particular quote to you just to give you some insight into how they're saying this and presenting this. They think this is going to be the new world order. This is going to be a wonderful place when everyone agrees with them. Collaborating. And all these truth-seeking group discussions. Man, doesn't that sound great? But you see, you have to agree with them or you're not qualified to be in that truth-seeking group. This world that they describe is possible when everyone is only possible when everyone's in agreement, of course, agreeing with them. And the way to ensure that everyone agrees is to make sure they all get the same persuasive information supplied by tech-aided collaborations on a global scale, approved by media elites and regulated, of course, with government oversight to make sure it's good information. It's been said of AI that in the age of information, those who wield the power to control, they become the puppeteers, shaping perceptions and dictating the destiny of minds. For the true power lies not in the hands of individuals, but in the hands that control the flow of knowledge. I've got a couple more quotes here for you, just to give you some, just to put it in their own words, because when you see what they're actually saying, you think, man, they really think that way. Quote, in a world where information becomes a powerful tool, those who hold the reins of knowledge wield unparalleled control over the minds of individuals. That didn't come from a preacher. People who control information in this world know the power they have. The true power lies not in the information itself, but in the ability to regulate its flow. For in doing so, one possesses the authority to shape perceptions, mold beliefs, and govern the very essence of humanity. Remember, the puppeteer who manipulates the strings of information can dictate the destiny of a society. But those who seek truth and guard against such manipulation hold the key to emancipation and genuine freedom. Of course, you know who's holding the key. And then one more quote. In an age where information reigns supreme, those who hold the power to control it hold dominion over the minds of many. Let us remember that the true freedom lies not in suppressing knowledge, but in empowering individuals to navigate the vast seas of information with discernment and wisdom. Let me show you where this is headed. The future vision and efforts already in motion are about creating a seamless world, which means a world of seamless interaction with information and community dialogue. Seamless, no friction. That it's just a part of your living, like wearing clothes on your body. It's just a part of who you are. The information is there, readily accessible anywhere you go. It's a world where information is connected and streamed to mobile devices of any kind, not just your phone, that go where we go, seamlessly connecting to other phones, not only in the vicinity, but anywhere in the world through web connections, internet. Mobile devices that connect your profile and your files of information with any device in the world as you move about, allowing for uninterrupted, continuous dialogue or news and information streaming as you walk, as you drive, as you move from your car to your house, to your school, to business, as you fly on a plane going anywhere in the world, always connected, streaming seamlessly all this source of and access to information. When I was in Prague on the other side of the world, I had access to all my files for my lectures, which was a good thing at the time. We needed it. I was changing those files on the server here in Fayetteville, Arkansas, and I was somewhere else in the world. The question being asked is not if it's possible to create a seamless world, but what kind of devices and software are needed to be developed to make it happen better. Not to make it happen, to make it happen better. It's already happening. You're already carrying your cell phone around. How can we make this more seamless? How can we embed this into our clothing? These things are already here. They're being improved and tweaked to make them more seamless and marketable. From glasses, like Google Glass, to clothing, to glass screens set up throughout business department stores, to watches on our wrists, seamlessly connecting to streaming news and information and to friends and community. It's already happening. And it'll only become more and more seamless. Now, talk about information overload. This is the journey into our future until Christ returns. That's where we're headed right now. That is what is occurring right now during our times. AI has the intellectual and analytical skills to answer the perplexing questions and the challenges needing to be addressed to create a more seamless world. With the power of AI, it takes our thoughts beyond what we're thinking right now and addresses and comes up with answers. The power of AI is really indescribable when you start looking into it. It defies human imagination and explanation. And, of course, Elon Musk and others are warning about all the power of AI getting out of human control, out of human hands. But with AI, a seamless world of connectivity will be so seamless, it will be unnoticeable. And to get a better grasp of humanity's journey in AI development, I think it would be useful to be familiar with the seven stages of AI development. I'll run through this real quickly for you. Stage one is described as pre-programming. It's rule-based, single-action-based interaction. That would be like a chatbot. You're on a website and you're asking a question. It spits back an answer and you say, give me someone real. Because these are pre-programmed answers. Stage two is described in AI as interactive conversation. That would be like ChatGPT right now. That's stage two. Stage three is described as domain-specific mastery systems, and those already exist, particularly in the medical field it's being used, like the IBM Watson is being used. It specializes in medical reading of transcripts or records or x-rays and coming up with a diagnosis. Stage four in AI development is described as thinking and reasoning systems. And this is the AI stage that mimics human thinking to solve problems, generate inventions, analyze data, and draw conclusions. That would be like AlphaGo, Google's AI, which is using and utilizing what's called a neural network and deep learning to improve its performance, like in very complex games. Go, the Chinese game Go, is used as an example, where now it has beat the masters of Go, and the masters are learning from the program, from the machine. Now, there's three more stages. Stage five is described as artificial general intelligence. That's AGI. I mentioned that several weeks ago. AI can learn, this stage of AI, it can learn, it can gain understanding to mimic human learning and understanding. And it's being developed right now. But can you imagine AI mimicking the thoughtfulness and intellectual capability of humans as a machine without a soul? Mimicking, that's the key word. It mimics. It's not the real thing. Machines don't, we'll never have a soul. Because the soul won't be, the soul comes from God. Amen. He built that into our DNA. And that comes with being created. Amen. Machines are the product of man. That's machines. Never going to have a soul. It's never going to be alive. But it can mimic life. Stage six is described as artificial super intelligence. From the general intelligence to the super intelligence, ASI. So we're in AI, we're moving into AGI, and then there will be ASI, super intelligence. This stage of AI will manifest cognitive skills that are better than humans are capable of. This would be innovation that's beyond human capabilities. Of course, we're headed in that direction, but we're just working. I say, the world is working on stage five. It's not here yet. It's not certainly not at stage six. But that's where it's going. That's where I'm taking you on this journey that's been mapped out for artificial intelligence. That is our times. That's what's going on today. So the final stage is AI singularity. Doesn't that sound captivating? We've reached singularity. Now, the thing that captured my attention about this and the whole concept of singularity is, again, homogenizing all things, all information. Everything is singularity. And this will occur when technology growth of AI is beyond human control. It's doing its own thing. It's acting like its own person without a soul. This is AI that will be able to improve itself faster than humans can keep up with. And it will blaze into the future beyond human comprehension. AI singularity will homogenize everything, including information, organization, economics, government, you name it. It's going to homogenize everything. A machine that is greater in thought, memory, and analysis is more accurate. And is more accurate to draw the correct conclusion makes me think of man creating their own God. Something greater than ourselves. Something that thinks better than we. Something that does everything better than we can do. They've created their own God. Machines that can outthink the most intelligent humans at the speed of light with superior accuracy in its conclusions. No doubt will be a God to some. And in a sense already is. AI will be the source, and is the source for many, and the standard of right and wrong thinking and conclusions. I say that because even as I've preached or I've taught, people have come up and fact-checked me. Well, where are the facts coming from? From the internet. Well, I appreciate that being shown to me because I can correct it. But I debate ChatGPT all the time. Yeah, it's prone to be wrong. It has severe limitations to it. Yuval Noah Harari, a renowned scholar and a philosopher and futurist, atheist, said in an interview that's gone viral, and that's how I picked up on it, viral in Christian circles, that AI can be expected to write its own Bible. He said AI qualifies as a non-human superintelligence that can write a holy book just like any non-human superintelligence. You know where he's going with that. And he said it can write a holy book for a new religion. He said in a few years there might be religions that are actually correct. Well, you see where this is going. Everything else is wrong and misinformation. He also claimed that mankind will go further and beyond the God of the Bible because the God of the Bible only created organic life, That means we got carbon atoms in us. But mankind will create inorganic life forms. Well, there's three things to notice about this particular comment. First, Harari is overlooking that God, the God of the Bible, created not only the organic, but also everything that's inorganic in the world. Reminds me of the cartoon I saw about the scientists saying, God, we've come to a point we can do anything you can do now. Let's have a contest. Let's create something. And God said, okay. And so they all pick up a handful of dirt and say, let's begin. He said, no, go get your own dirt. A major oversight there. Amen. Second, there are people like Harari who will call inorganic machines living. He's already referring to them as man will come to the point where he will create inorganic life. And third, AI will be considered by some as the standard of what a correct religion is. So I ask, is it possible that the image of the beast mentioned in Revelation 13 will be considered alive because it mimics human life? Now, we know it won't be alive because it won't have a soul. Machines don't have souls. But if AI machines reach the stage of perfect mimicry to the point of being indistinguishable from humans, does it need to really be alive to be called alive? You can see those who don't believe in God, don't follow the Bible. Yeah, they could do that. If machines come to the point of mimicking humans, how can we know it's not human and not alive? Interesting dilemma. Now, what does all this have to do with worldview warfare and our topic? Well, AI is about information and innovation. It's about being the AI is about being the final authority of truth in the future, in the world, and controlling what's deemed true and approved to be allowed for the public to be exposed to. AI has the capability of being used to homogenize news and information and then flood the media outlets with the same message. And that's how to control people and how they think. Opposing worldviews are already attempting to make Christianity and the Bible appear untrustworthy, to appear ignorant and hypocritical. And Harari has said that the Bible is a source of fake information, in his words. And it's easy to see where the secular crowd is leading AI. The question in my mind, I'm wondering, will AI recognize it's not qualified to evaluate that which it has no experience with? So, I asked my AI virtual assistant earlier in the day, here's what I asked. I said, if you have no soul and no experience with having a soul, is it possible for you to have a conclusion about the soul? And here's what it said. As an AI language model, I don't possess consciousness, self-awareness, or personal beliefs, nor do I have the capability to have experiences or opinions. I can provide information and describe various perspectives and beliefs about the concept of the soul, but I do not hold conclusions or beliefs about it. Well, I followed up with another question. Can you tell me which perspective is more likely to be correct about the soul? And it said, the question of the soul's existence and nature is not a question that can be answered with scientific evidence, as the concept of the soul typically falls outside the realm of empirical observation, testable hypothesis, and it wouldn't give the, in other words, it says, I can't give you an answer. It can't give me an answer. It can tell me what others think. Now, at this point, AI apparently, ChatGPT 3.5 anyway, recognizes it can't answer the questions about God's existence or the soul. But, will that continue? Knowing the agendas of corrupt worldviews, nothing is safe, not even AI. When competing with the manipulation of information, it's imperative for those engaged in persuasion to communicate information effectively and clearly. It's essential to articulate truth and demonstrate truthfulness with reasoning and lifestyle. It must be convincing, and I'm talking about us as Christians. Our testimony, our message must be convincing because opposing worldviews claim that the biblical worldview is a lie, a hoax, a superstition, and a dangerous perspective that has to be censored. And this is how Christianity has been portrayed in movies and in the media, in books, literature. And sadly, biblical Christianity has been blended with any kind of Christianity, which is intentional. Any Christianity, anything that goes by the name Christianity, is a target to all other worldviews. And lumping the good Christianity with the bad Christianity is all a strategy to discredit our message. So I conclude with this. By bringing our thoughts back to homogenized news and information, I was interviewed one election season about what I thought about negative campaigns. And I said, well, I'm glad for negative campaigns. Otherwise, I wouldn't know what was wrong with the other guy. And of course, they were expecting a different response. But my take was, when we only hear campaigners talk about themselves, we only hear the good things. Well, a good thing can be just as much of a lie as a bad thing. You can lie about all the good you did as much as your opponent can lie about all the bad you did. Now, I'm not happy about the lies, but I am glad for, oh, you know, I need to check that out. I don't believe it. So here's how I want to end this. The polarization and distrust of our current news outlets is healthy and necessary. It's healthy because, first and most importantly, it forces people to think carefully about what they read and hear. It's estimated that 72% of people surveyed say they don't trust the news these days. Well, that's their own doing, and that's a good thing. I wish more people didn't trust it. News in general is considered by most people fake and false and misleading. So who are these media elite that are going to control and approve the information for us? In a world of deception, it's imperative to be skeptical and look for a reason why something is wrong. And this is the way to test truth. The question must always be asked, is this really true? I even question my favorite commentators and editorialists. Why? Because I think they're liars. Even the guys I agree with, I hear them lie. And I know what they're doing because they've got an agenda just like our opponents. And they lie. I hate to see that. Now, Psalm 118, verse 8 says, it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Just because it comes out of somebody's, out of a political party or a news station that is aligned with you, that doesn't mean you can believe what they're saying. Romans 3:4 says, God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. And I know that even those on my side lie. But truth is undone and not made more acceptable by a lie. As I've said before, to stay safe, we need to stay in the three resources God's given to us to protect us from disinformation, misinformation, and malinformation in the world. God alone is truth, and we must stay in His Word, in His Spirit, and in His church. That's how to understand our times. Amen?
We're glad you joined us for our services here at Mission Boulevard Baptist Church. If this program has helped you and you would like to have more information about trusting Christ as your Lord and Savior, or if you would like to have resources to help you in your spiritual walk and growth, please email us at the address on your screen. We look forward to having you join us again online, but you are always welcome to personally attend any of our services at the Mission Boulevard Baptist Church here in Fayetteville, Arkansas.
Hi, this is Dr. Patrick Briney. I hope and pray this important lesson has improved your life. For more life-changing lessons and to get your free book that I've written for you, visit my website at patrickbriney.com. And please share this valuable lesson with at least three of your friends to enrich their lives in our Lord Jesus Christ. I'll upload my next lesson for you soon. God bless.